Have you ever looked at your stacked resume and wondered why you still feel unfulfilled? What if your dream brand is already hidden in your skill set? It's extremely easy for your job title to become your identity. And when I finally let that go, or was forced to let that go and really embrace my zone of genius, welcome and welcome back to Boss Babe Reset, the podcast giving high-achieving girlies self-care hacks you can actually stick to so you can finally level up and tap into your boss energy. I am your host, Erica Nicole, and by the end of this episode, you'll discover how to identify the skills from your 9-to-5 that are already brand-worthy, a simple framework to turn your experience into income, and the mindset shift that will help you stop playing small and start building with confidence. So to kind of ease us into this conversation, I just wanted to quickly recap my journey, right? If you know, you know, my background is in pre-med and forensic science. That's what I studied in undergrad. And then from there, I pivoted to becoming an executive assistant and then to becoming a founder. Now, I'm not going to go super deep into that story time, because if you want to hear about that in depth, I'm going to refer you to episode 98, which is Confidence versus Clarity, where I talk a lot more about that. But long story short, I left forensic science because I wasn't feeling fulfilled. It wasn't feeling aligned with where I felt like I was being called. Working in the lab was a lot more isolating than I thought it was going to be. And working in the field, actually going to crime scenes, was a lot smellier than I thought it was going to be. So I decided to become an executive assistant when I realized that I wanted to start a business, and executive assisting really became my bridge into understanding entrepreneurship on a high level. I was able to not only support the CEOs that I was working for, obviously, but I was also able to learn directly from other founders who were selling their companies, other venture capitalists in the space, understanding mergers and acquisitions and business and scaling and all of the things. And little did I know, when I was working in forensics and decided to transfer over into executive assisting, that so many of my skills were going to be transferable. And it's funny to me, because every time I would go into an interview, the first question they would ask is like, your background is forensics, why are you here? And I think that was a great selling point for me, looking back on it, because it was a great story time. It was a great storytelling moment explaining my pivot. And I think that really helped me stand out on a resume and landed me a lot of interviews. But a lot of the skills transferred over in real life. And it's so interesting, because my brand, Silken, a skincare brand, it really came to life from a mix of my personal struggle with my skin health. If you don't know, I'm a proud New Yorker, born and raised, and the city was really taking a toll on my skin. The carbon monoxide fumes, the ozone, the particulate matter, all of these things I realized were really triggering my flare-ups, my acne, and my eczema. So it came from that, and it came from professional preparation. I can see how all of the things I've learned along the way, from my science background to working in corporate, in a professional executive assistant capacity, really prepared me for all of the things that were going to come with building this brand. Everything from formulating and understanding clinicals and being able to understand scientific literature and data, all the way to building a team, scaling revenue, financial modeling, like the whole nine and everything in between. So how I really want to tackle this episode is really breaking down what I call the resume to revenue framework. And for this episode, I literally dusted off my resume. I'm being a little dramatic, not literally. By dusting it off, I mean pulling it up from my Google Drive, because like, who prints paper anymore? Save the trees. So I'm actually going to like use this as a point of reference as we talk through this. So if you are trying to turn your resume into revenue, whether that be scaling in your corporate career or starting your business, scaling your business, whatever that may look like, I encourage you to pull out a copy of your resume and really walk through this with me. So let's start from the top. The first thing that I want you to do when you're trying to turn your resume into revenue is that you need to inventory your skills, right? And what that looks like is basically looking at your resume as an asset sheet, right? What am I good at? If you're thinking from a broader perspective, right? What do people come to you for? What problems do you already solve? And from that, really break down your soft skills, your hard skills, your personal and professional experiences to really understand where the opportunity lies. So when I'm thinking of my pivot from forensics to executive assisting, the soft skills that I have on my resume are critical thinking and decision-making, adaptability to fast-paced environments, professional discretion and trustworthiness, high emotional intelligence, cross-functional collaboration, proactive organization and multitasking, strong work ethic and accountability, and communication and interpersonal skills. And all of these are 1,000% accurate. Whether I was working in the field, picking up evidence, collecting evidence, storing them away, or working in the lab, I had to be able to think critically, right? You have to be able to make smart decisions. What are we collecting? How are we packaging it away? Do we think that this can be important down the line? Even when you're running tests in the lab, making sure that everything is running smoothly, if you're looking at your charts and your graphs, do we need to run this again? Are the peaks? Well, so maybe I should like backtrack. So when I say lab work, I was doing toxicology, which basically means we were working with either crime labs or third-party practices, like other office, doctor's offices, whatnot. They would have carriers drop off samples, and we would test the samples for whatever the request was for. So whether it may have been for drugs or for DNA, whatever it is. So we would basically take the sample, we would run it through a LC-MS instrumentation, and then from that you would get a chromatograph. And it's basically just a bunch of different peaks, and you're basically able to read the chromatograph, look at the peaks, and identify the substances in whatever it was. That's your lesson. That's your forensics lesson for today. So same thing in the lab, like, are the peaks clear? Do I need to run this again? Fast-paced environments, crime scenes. Crime scenes are no joke. There's so much going on. You have detectives everywhere. You have your entire forensics team. If, God forbid, there's a body there, you have the coroner there. Sometimes, unfortunately, you'll have the grieving family there who's asking questions, trying to figure out what's happening. It can be very hyper-emotional. If the scene is outdoors, you have audience, you have press, you have the news station. Like, it can be a lot. So fast-paced environments, for sure. Professional discretion and trustworthiness. Obviously, lab results are private. You don't go, like, sharing around people's information. High emotional intelligence, underrated skill, especially when you're working on scene. Because, again, like, there's a lot of emotions. Family crying, asking questions. They want to take personal things from the scene, and you're like, ma'am, sir, like, I understand, but like, we actually need to bring this to the lab first. Everything is going to be returned to you once we do what we need to do. Cross-functional collaboration, obviously in crime scene, you're collaborating with your local police department, detectives, coroner's office, anyone else involved. In the lab, you're working with so many different people. You have the carriers that you work with who are dropping off samples. You have your internal team, because in the lab that I worked with, we were broken up into different departments. So the department that received the samples, maybe swabbed the samples, prepped the samples, are different from us who were loading the machines, which can be also different from those who do quality control. You get my drift, right? Organization and multitasking. I feel like that speaks for itself. Strong work ethic and accountability, communication, interpersonal skills. Like, so you get my drift, right? So those are soft skills that I really garnered during my forensics days that transferred over extremely well into my executive assisting positions, right? Critical thinking and decision making. As an executive assistant, even if you, whether you're independently like running, overseeing executives, or you're on a team, you have to be able to make split decisions. Busy, wealthy people move at the speed of light. So you have to be able to think on your toes. You have to be able to solve problems quickly. Adaptability to fast-paced environments. I've never had an EA position where I actually had training. There's no such thing as training. It's very much here. This is all of the stuff that I haven't been able to handle. Can you figure it out? Professional discretion and trustworthiness. Typically, people who have executive assistants, they are high net worth individuals. So you have to be very discreet. You're dealing with a lot of personal information, whether you're booking doctor's appointments, you're getting their results back, you're dealing with their family and their kids and their finances. You have to be extremely discreet, obviously very trustworthy. High emotional intelligence. I worked in finance in the executive category for a little bit, so things can get pretty intense really quick if a deal falls through or something's wrong and they're like on 10, but you still need to do your job. If they're on 10, I have to be on a 2 to kind of bring them down to figure out what are the next steps that we're going to do or the next steps that we are going to take in order to help remediate whatever the situation is to the best of my ability. Cross-functional collaboration. You're working amongst all the teams. For me, I sat really closely with M&A. I worked closely with HR, with their house staffs, all of the things. So collaborated very well on that end. Organization, multitasking, work ethic, communication, blah, blah, blah. You get the point. So you see the link between the two. And that's just soft skills for me. Hard skills would be like data analysis and reporting, research and documentation, being able to create processes, time management, technical writing, problem solving under pressure. You see where I'm going? So again, look at your resume like an asset sheet. You should be separating your soft skills from your hard skills. Really document your professional experiences and ask, what do people come to you for? People come, I am the organized friend, okay? You already know I am the planner, hyper-organized. That's what people come to me for. If they have a business idea, now I'm the business bestie. Okay, so if people have a business idea and they need some clarity on how to structure, what the next step should be, like that's what people come to me for. So knowing what my skills are and knowing what people already come to me for, it allows me to kind of understand the white space, understand the opportunity for whatever it is that I'm trying to build or do. So after you inventory your skills, you have to find your pivot path, okay? Now that I have all of these skills that I am now aware of, how do I monetize that, right? So is that going to be a product-based business? Is that going to be a service-based business? Is this going to be content-based? What is going to be my pivot path? So let's say you are really good at helping people redo their resumes, or people always come to you when they are looking for, they need to revamp their resume to land a new job, right? That is a service-based business. This is a skill set that you have that you know that you are good at and that you can help other people in that way. It can also be a skill. You could be really good at doing hair or nails or being an esthetician or, I don't know, providing a service. What are you good at? Are you content-based? Are you extremely comfortable being in front of a camera? Do you enjoy talking to people or interfacing? Do you enjoy creating content for other people? Are you good at ideating content? Well, ideating content would probably more fall under service-based, but you get it. Like, are you good at creating content? Product-based business and understanding what comes along with that. Do you have the financial means to have a product-based business? Out of all of the three, that is for sure the most expensive. Trust me, I know, okay? And just figuring out, just start exploring, like, what are you good at, right? So for me, I knew I had the scientific background that I was really, really strong in. I then went on to gain this entrepreneurial insight by working as an executive assistant and learning from what I would consider the best of the best, at least in my book, and really gaining my boots on the ground MBA, as I refer to it. And I knew that from there, the path that I wanted to go was having some type of skincare related business, which falls under the category of product-based. So again, inventory your skills, your experiences, and then find your pivot path, right? And I want to be clear that you don't need to quit your job to begin whatever it is. I did not start that way for sure. Again, I love to say that Silken was ideated in 2019. I began working on it in 2022. No, 2021, I actually began working on it right after like the panorama started to die down. And then it wasn't until 2023 that I began working on the version of the brand that is going to be introduced to the world in 2025. So, and it wasn't until October of last year that I transitioned from my full-time job to being full-time in the business. And That's a whole episode in and of itself. But I want you to know that it's very possible to work your 9-to-5 and begin building your side hustle, if you will. So, and it's just carving out time for that. And that becomes a whole time management thing. And I know I have episodes on that, like calendar blocking, time blocking. I will leave, make sure that is left in the show notes and the description box. So find your pivot path, right? So we are going to inventory our skills. We're going to look at our resume like an asset sheet. We're understanding our skills, soft, hard, professional experiences. We are going to find our pivot path, right? How are we monetizing these skills? Are we going to have a product-based business, a service-based business, a content-based business? And then we have to begin the branding process. We have to brand it with intention. Now, when I say this, there's really two ways that you can go about this from either a personal brand perspective or a business brand perspective. And if I'm speaking from my experience, I actually am building both at the same time. So whatever it is that you're doing, you're going to brand it with intention. So obviously, if you have a service-based business or a content-based business, a lot of it starts with your personal brand, right? The reality is that people buy from people that they trust. So starting with your personal brand is a great idea. And then if you have a business brand, your business is really an extension of you, right? It's an extension of your story. People have to understand your why, right? So it starts with your personal brand, your story, your why. And then you have this business that is an extension of you where people basically get to buy into the thing that you provide. And the reality is that I am building both at the same time, interestingly enough. So, and it wasn't intentional. I began building the business brand. And after a lot of, again, 3 years in the making, a lot of highs and lows, I took a couple months from building the brand to like reset, refigure out how I was going to tackle building this brand. And during that time, I began the podcast that you're listening to right now. And that began building my personal brand. And now I'm doing both concurrently. And it's so interesting because it's kind of a feedback loop and they feed into each other, because now I'm learning that people discover me from different avenues. Some people find me from my podcast. Some people find me from, you know, my brand, the business, PR things that go on with the brand. So you have to brand it with intention. And, you know, I kind of became, I guess, the face of the mission for Silken as we position the brand as a luxury science-backed solution. So you want to get extremely, extremely clear on, again, like, what is the problem that you're solving? Who are you trying to serve? What is the value that you are providing for people? And what makes you different? What is your unique selling point, right? So if I were to break that down from the brand side, from the Silken side, we want it to be very disruptive in the industry. We want it to be very next generation. So being a pollution protection skincare brand rooted in microbiome science is just that. And it's very in line with the brand. So everything from our imagery is very edgy and very New York-ish. I call it urban luxury. I feel like that's the perfect word to describe the aesthetic of our brand. So everything from that, the visual identity to the actual, like the deep brand identity, who are we serving? Who are we talking to? We're talking to millennial and Gen Z urban dwellers, people who live in the city and they experience the effects of pollution on their skin, whether they realize it's a problem or not. We're talking to people who are struggling with inflammatory skin conditions like acne and eczema. And the way that we want to communicate to them is like, we want to be a trusted science-based solution that is cool and fun and trendy and Instagram or TikTokable, whatever the word is. But that's also very, very heavily rooted in science with clinicals and dermatology tested, backed, all of the things. And then from the personal brand side, it's like, yes, I am this founder who is building this thing, but I also had a struggle with self-care and taking care of myself while building this brand. So that's where Boss Babe Reset really came into play, which was really me just documenting my self-care journey while trying to build this thing, while trying to build this business. And I created two separate brands that are extensions of me, but then they both businesses, right? And that are extensions of me, and they basically feed into my personal brand. And it really begins to create this flywheel. So I think once you figure out, again, like those key pillars, who are you trying to serve? what problem are you solving and what makes you unique in the marketplace, you're able to really own that space. You have to create your own white space in your category, own it, and brand it with intention. Be very intentional and be very strategic about it. And like, there's people that can help you, right? Like, a question that I get a lot as a founder is like, what my first hire would be. And in retrospect, which I now have, which I'm grateful for, my first hire would have been a brand strategist before anything else. Because once you have a very strong core brand identity, and I don't just mean a visual identity, I mean a core identity, answering those core questions, that lays the foundation for your business and it becomes a lot more streamlined to build everything else on top of that. So now we've inventoried our skills, right? We have found our pivot path. We know what kind of business that we're building. We are owning the white space that we have created for ourselves. We are branding it with intention. And then the next thing to do is test and monetize. So now that we have an account of all of these things, it's time to test our offers and figure out how we're actually going to monetize. How are we going to collect money? Because the reality is you can have a business, but if your business is not generating income, the reality is it's a hobby. You know, we can go into business for all the right intentions, but the business, the thing that makes a business is making money. Okay, moolah, we have to be able to sustain it. Otherwise, it's a hobby. So ways that you can go about testing and monetize your idea, right? Testing the white space that you think you've found and you've created for yourself. Social media is probably the best way. You need to test your messaging. You have to figure out if you can build an email list. Is there demand for what it is that you're the problem that you're trying to solve or the solution that you're trying to create? Mastering the art of storytelling. Are people buying into you? Are they buying into your story? Do they see a need for this, right? So what does testing messaging look like? It could be creating a talking to head video of you just explaining the problem that you're solving. It could be text-based. It could be a LinkedIn post. If you see people resonating with like, oh man, yeah, that's me. You know, I started on LinkedIn just like writing about how pollution was impacting my skin, how I did all of this due diligence and I learned that 1 in 3 Americans live with unhealthy levels of air pollution and that air pollution increases the risk of inflammatory skin conditions by 121%. And as I was talking about that and documenting my journey with acne and eczema living in New York City and dealing with all of the pollutants like carbon monoxide and ozone and particulate matter and all of these things, people were like, oh my goodness, like either I didn't know that was a problem. Or it's like, yeah, I moved from, I don't know, West Bumble, Illinois, and I came to New York and my skin just started going haywire and I didn't know why. And I was able to test messaging and seeing what was resonating with people. Even how we describe the business, right? For Silken, I used to say that we are an environmental defense skincare company, which we are. But as I was testing that messaging, it wasn't really resonating. And once I began saying, oh, we're a pollution protection skincare brand, people were like, oh my goodness, that makes so much sense. I can see why that's needed. So you need to just put it out there. Start getting feedback. Talk to your friends, your family, your maybe not your coworkers, because if they're like shiesty, I don't know, companies hate when you have side hustles nowadays. So maybe not your coworkers, unless like y'all are cool for real. But yeah, test the messaging, get it out there, see what's working and kind of just edit off of that. Find a way to build an email list, right? So for Silken right now, we have our air pollution report. So we're driving traffic to our air pollution report by posting on social media, doing newsletter collaborations. Maybe we'll run some paid ads in the future. I don't low budget paid ads. Okay, that's a misconception. You can test messaging and email list building on like Meta ads for like very cheap, like $500. Don't fall into the, oh, you need $20,000 to run Meta ads. No. But yeah, are people willing to give us their email to understand what the key pollutants are in their city and like how they can protect their skin from that? If you're interested in our air pollution report, I will also link that in the description and the show notes. You can just go to silken.com/air report. If you go to our Silken website, you can click at the top and it'll be there. But that's how we've been building our email list. And, you know, okay, so now we know that our messaging resonates, right? Now we know that there's demand because people are literally giving us their emails, which is a very big step for someone to give you your email, right? You have to trust them and like them and want them to be able to contact you. And then we test storytelling. And that's been me going on my stories or making posts. And again, like people resonating, telling my story about how I lived in New York. And it wasn't until I quit my job and began traveling that I realized that environmental stressors were affecting my skin, because I would go to the Caribbean and my skin would be glowing and thriving. And then I would come back to New York and my skin would flare up, or I would go to Arizona and my skin was just so dry. And, you know, like just telling the story and finding a way to resonate with people. Once you have those three things, again, it's like confirming the white space, right? That's when you're like, okay, this is great. So some low lift ways listeners can test their demand. Again, I think social media is a great place to start. You basically have a free pool of people to test with. You can start a content series, create a content series around whatever it is that you're trying to serve. So if you are trying to start a hair care business and you want to help women with alopecia, okay, then maybe you need to start an educational content series on ways that you can help grow your hair if you're suffering with alopecia. Or if you are, I don't know, a corporate girl, right? Even from the personal branding side, and you want to elevate in your career or pivot your career, start creating content around the pivot that you're trying to make. Even document the journey. Employers are looking at your social medias. I'm just saying, okay? So create a content series about whatever problem that you're trying to solve or whatever it is that you're trying to be known for. I have a lot of friends who are lawyers, who are doctors, who create content because they know that they're next employer is going to be looking at them, and that increases their earning potential. Because it's like, listen, not only am I great at my job, but I also have a social following, and believe it or not, that is monetizable. Okay, that is worth something. You can offer a mini service, right? Like kind of like a trial version of whatever it is that you're going to offer. So, and if you're in the beauty space, instead of going out and like purchasing salon space or doing whatever, maybe offer like at-home services to begin before going and getting your own salon or studio. For Silken, right, we have like sachets, we have like little sample packs that we give out to people as like a mini offering. Like you want to find something to give people just like a taste of whatever it is that you offer. If you are a blogger or a writer of some sort, create a Substack, create a newsletter, let people have an understanding of what your writing style is, what your capabilities are, that you can be consistent, right? And then lastly, you can host a workshop or a challenge to be able to show your expertise. I know a lot of brands that do 3-day challenges, 5-day challenges, 7-day challenges. They do 2-hour workshops on Instagram Live. Like find a way for you to just have direct communication with your audience, right? That is the point of all of this. That is the real way that you are able to test demand. With that being said, that is the best way to test demand. It's just getting the idea out there. So we are identifying our skill sets. We are looking at our resume as an asset sheet. We are finding our path, product-based, service-based, content-based. We are branding it with intention. We are owning our white space, and then we are testing and we are monetizing. Once we test and we see that there is demand for whatever it is that we're trying to do, we are charging for it. And dare I say, even in the testing phase, you should be charging something for it, because people will take anything that's free. Like free is very easy to sell. Once someone is willing to exchange their hard-earned money for whatever it is that you have to offer, that is testing real demand. Let's be clear, okay? So now that we kind of have this framework of how we're going to transform our resume into revenue, we have to acknowledge that there are mindset shifts that have to happen for the transition from like a corporate to creator, boss, babe era, right? Because the reality is that you're not starting over. I want you to understand that you are starting from wisdom. You already have the skill sets. You are already qualified. I think the biggest mindset shift, my goodness, say that 3 times fast. But the biggest thing that I've seen people struggle with, and myself as well, is letting go of that job title identity and embracing your zone of genius. Again, as a former 9-to-5 girly, even before I was working 9 to 5, even when I was pursuing my career in forensics, that was my identity. Again, from 9 years old to 22 years old, Erica was going to med school. Erica was going to be a forensic coroner for the FBI. Erica was the science girly. Like, that was my identity. That was me. And then even after that, when I was working in a corporate job, even though I was still working as an executive assistant, my goal was still climbing the corporate ladder. I had, in my EA days, I think I had three full-time positions during that window of me being an executive assistant. And I was still trying to climb the corporate ladder because I needed more money. I needed money to invest into my business and my podcast. So I was still stuck in that rat race of climbing the corporate ladder. And again, when you're trying to excel at something, it's extremely easy for your job title to become your identity. And when I finally let that go, or was forced to let that go and really embrace my zone of genius, it took a lot for me to even grapple with the fact that I would be, in a sense, losing the security that I thought that I had in my job. But we all know job security is not a real thing, especially since the panorama. But in my mind, it was security. It was a part of my identity. It was something that I knew that I was good at. It was a big shift to be able to go from relying on a corporate structure of some sort where someone else is responsible for making sure that you have a company culture, that you have a paycheck, that you have all of these things, to now like, okay, it's just you. And you are relying on yourself. You are relying on your own success, right? And at least from my experience, once you let go of that identity, you really do create space for your authentic self to shine. You really create space for your zone of genius to not just be evident to you, because deep down you know it. Whether you say it or not, you know what you're good at. You know what your skill sets are. You know the value that you bring to this world. Once you create space for that to really flourish, it just simply allows other people to see your zone of genius. So I want you to stop waiting for permission. Stop waiting for the cosign. Stop waiting for someone else to tell you that you need to take this next step and really go all in on the thing that you feel like you're called to do. Because the reality is that you are already qualified. So I want you to go through your resume. I want you to list 10 skills on your resume, right? Circle the ones that you love doing, that even if you weren't getting paid for it, I would do this anyway because I'm naturally good at it. And then think of one problem that you can solve with those skills, and then brainstorm how you can monetize that. Heck, write all that out and throw it into ChatGPT and let chat tell you how you can monetize that, okay? Ask it for a business plan, all the things. Proofread it though, because, you know, AI is not 100% accurate, but, you know, it's the rebrand era for sure. But with that is all I have for you. Thank you for tuning into today's episode. I hope that it reminded you that you have the experience. Your experience is already more than enough, and you are already equipped to build something powerful and profitable, okay? Heavy on the profit. In this episode, you have learned how to spot the brand-worthy skills hiding your resume, a simple framework to turn your experience into income, and the mindset shift to stop playing small and start building with confidence. I want you to remember that your resume isn't just a list of jobs. It is proof that you are already the woman for the role that you are dreaming of. So start building it, because the brand is you. I'm bossy. I'm the first girl to scream on a track. I switched up the beat of the drum.